Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a series of 10 podcasts on obesity. It's derived from an outstanding chapter on obesity in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. After completing these 10 podcasts, you should be having a solid foundation in obesity. As you know, obesity is in 1/3 of US adults and is therefore an important area to have at one's fingertips. This outstanding chapter is authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, who is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. He's also the Associate Director of the Mount Sinai Diabetes Center. The senior author is Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, who is a Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. He's the Program Director of Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience taking care of obese patients. Multiple choice question. A 56-year-old male patient with a past medical history of hypertension, diabetes, and irritable bowel syndrome presents to your office with complaints of difficulty in weight loss. He has been obese for most of his adult life and is interested in medications that might be used for weight loss in conjunction with lifestyle modifications he has implemented. He is currently taking amlodipine and hydrochlorothiazide for his hypertension, requires multiple insulin injections daily for his diabetes, and follows a strict diet for his irritable bowel syndrome. What is the most appropriate medication to recommend? A. Lorcaserine, B. Orlistat, C. Acarbose, and D. Phentermine. And the answer is A. Lorcaserine. When recommending pharmacotherapy for weight loss, it is important to consider potential side effects. Given his pre-existing irritable bowel syndrome, for which he follows a strict diet, medications with potential gastrointestinal side effects would not be an ideal choice, that is options B and C. Given his hypertension requiring multiple medications for control, phentermine and other CNS stimulants or appetite suppressants would not be recommended, that is option D. Lorcaserine would be the best option. It is a selective serotonin receptor antagonist, 5-HT2C, and has been found to produce weight loss. It has not been shown to cause valvular abnormalities or pulmonary artery hypertension. The rationale for the treatment of obesity lies in its well-documented association with morbidity and mortality. In a prospective study of over 1 million adults in the US, the lowest rates of death were found for men with a BMI 23.5 to 24.9 and women with a BMI 22 to 23. In this study, the highest mortality rates were among the heaviest men and women. In addition, obesity is associated with other health risks, including type 2 diabetes mellitus, hypertension, and coronary artery disease. Lorcaserine was approved by the FDA in 2012 as an adjunct to non-pharmacologic weight loss strategies on the basis of three trials: the BLOSSOM trial, the BLOOM trial, and the BLOOM-DM trial. The BLOSSOM trial is behavioral modification, and lorcaserine's second study for obesity management trial, which enrolled 4,008 patients. The BLOOM study, which is behavioral modification, and lorcaserine for overweight and obesity management trial, which enrolled 3,182 patients, and the BLOOM DM trial, which enrolled 604 patients. All three trials showed that lorcaserine provided far better and sustained weight loss than placebo. The drug works by binding 5-HT2C receptors in the hypothalamic pro-opiomelanocortin, or the POMC pathway, with an affinity that is 100 times that of 5-HT2B receptors. Therefore, there was considerable interest in determining the long-term cardiovascular safety of lorcaserine as well as its efficacy. In the New England Journal, the Camellia TIMI 61, that is cardiovascular and metabolic effects of lorcaserine in overweight and obese patients, TIMI 61 trial involving 12,000 overweight or obese patients with atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease or multiple cardiovascular risk factors. This study compared lorcaserine 10 mg twice daily with placebo. The primary safety outcome was major cardiovascular events, which was a composite of cardiovascular mortality, myocardial infarction or stroke. And the primary cardiovascular efficacy outcome was extended major cardiovascular events, a composite of major cardiovascular events plus heart failure, hospitalization for unstable angina, or coronary revascularization. A key secondary outcome was the development of new onset type 2 diabetes mellitus. In this trial, which is the Camellia TIMI 61 trial, patients had a high burden of coexisting illnesses, including 57% had diabetes, 94% had hyperlipidemia, 90% had hypertension, and 20% had chronic kidney disease. After the establishment of non-inferiority, patients were evaluated for the superiority of lorcaserine with respect to extended major cardiovascular events. As expected, more patients in the lorcaserine group lost 5% or more body weight, and the primary safety outcome was not increased at a median of 3.3 years. The p-value was 0.001 for non-inferiority. For the second primary efficacy outcome of extended major cardiovascular events, the criteria for the superiority of lorcaserine were not met. Adverse events were not common overall, and the rates were similar in two groups, except for marked hypoglycemia in the lorcaserine group, that is 13 patients versus 4 patients, and mainly with diabetes at baseline. There was no significant differences between the groups with respect to cardiovascular disease among the full trial group of 12,000 patients. 58 in the lorcaserine group and 64 in the placebo group were noted to have symptomatic valvular heart disease of any type. However, among patients who were included in the echocardiography substudy, de novo or progressive FDA-defined valvulopathy was identified in 1.8% in the lorcaserine group and 1.3% in the placebo group at 1 year. The authors ascribed this finding, new onset mild aortic valve regurgitation, power calculations for echo studies were not performed, although the authors enrolled more patients than FDA required. Furthermore, there was also an imbalance in pulmonary hypertension that was worsening at 1 year. Thus, it would appear that long-term data remain very important with regard to cardiovascular safety, given the use of lorcaserine is likely to extend for years to maintain weight loss. The relationship between glucose control and lorcaserine is still uncertain. The secondary outcome of new onset type 2 diabetes occurred in 8.5% in the lorcaserine group and 10.3% in the placebo group. Preclinical data has suggested that lorcaserine has glucose lowering properties independent of weight loss, possibly working through melanocortin 4 receptors on the cholinergic preganglionic neurons. But clinical trials, including the Camellia TIMI 21 trial, has shown less impressive results, in part because of confounding from other medications, particularly SGLT2 inhibitors, that is the sodium glucose cotransporter 2 inhibitors. For example, in a similar trial for weight loss involving patients with prediabetes who received liraglutide, the hazard ratio for diabetes was 0.21 as compared to with the risk of diabetes among those with prediabetes in the current trial, where the hazard ratio was 0.81. The question is, Will Lorcaster improve to be helpful over the long haul? For now, editorialist in the New England Journal of Medicine, Dr. Julie Engelfinger, MD, and Dr. Clifford Rosen, MD, in an editorial on September 20, 2018, they opined that the drug may be best used on a cautious basis according to the needs of individual patients. As in other reports on its use, the side effects of headache, fatigue, dizziness, diarrhea, and nausea lead to twice the number of discontinuations in the lorcaserin group as in the placebo group, although the total rates of discontinuation were similar in both groups. With respect to efficacy, they say, liraglutide would provide a similar degree of weight loss but a lower risk of diabetes. Therefore, in their opinion, whether this trial will lead to enhanced utilization of lorcaserin by healthcare providers is uncertain, as is the ultimate role of lorcaserin in the therapy of patients who are overweight or obese. This podcast was derived from an outstanding chapter on obesity in Baliga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com, and an editorial on lorcaserin titled Lorcaserin, Elixir or Liability, authored by Dr. Julie Engelfinger, MD, and Dr. Clifford J. Rosen, MD, in the New England Journal of Medicine, September 20th, 2018. This series of 10 podcasts on obesity is derived from an outstanding chapter in Baliga's textbook of medicine on obesity. The book is available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, and Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, MD, both faculty endocrinologists at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. That's the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. Dr. Lam is the Associate Program Director for Diabetes, and Dr. Yanagisawa is a Professor of Medicine and the Program Director of the Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience in taking care of obese patients.